Welcome to the Mind the Skin podcast, a podcast that shines the spotlight on the connection between the mind and the skin. I'm Audrey Ajakaye, your lovely host, and today we will be talking about living a day in the life with a chronic illness. So please, let's welcome Najee to the podcast.
Hi, Audrey. Thank you so much for having me on here. I'm known as Najee B. Baker, and I am 18 years old. I am currently from South Florida, and the disease that I'm battling is sickle cell anemia.
Awesome. And so just for an introduction for this podcast again, my name's Audrey, mm-hmm. also a senior. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I have eczema. And so next, I want to transition into describing a little bit about what sickle cell and eczema is, and what is one cool fact that someone may not know about the disease.
Okay, so sickle cell anemia is basically a group of disorders that cause red blood cells to become mishappen and break down. With sickle cell disease, it is an inherited group of disorders that you get from both parents. So, which means that your mom and dad would have the sickle cell trait, and that both of their sickle cell traits would make a hole. And personally, in my family, it only affects all females. Now, every family is different. Some may have only affected all boys, or it may affect girls and boys. So for our genes, it's a little bit different comparing to other families.
Awesome.
And then I would have to say one fun fact about sickle cell anemia is that a lot of people think that it's just a miniature crisis that we usually have on a daily basis, but little do people know, it feels like that we're in a gas chamber or someone is stabbing you constantly over and over. And it's very, very excruciating pain that you cannot even explain until someone actually feels what you're going through.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And personally, me, I know we've talked about this before, but also having a lot of family members that have sickle cell, I really feel like it's important to come here and highlight this disease here today. So next, I want to talk a little bit about eczema and the cool facts that are associated with that. So eczema, or the scientific name is atopic dermatitis, is caused by a combination of immune system activations or genetic and environmental factors, along with stuff like stress. And so basically, when you have eczema, your immune system overreacts to small irritants or allergens that are in the environment. So that could include like pollen, or for some people, it could be their bed sheets or different skin products that they use. And this overreaction can cause great inflammation on your skin. And for some people, it can cause their skin to be red. But for me, it's mainly super itchy, and my skin gets so dry that it can crack a lot of the times. So it can be extremely painful also when you're trying to do stuff like shower, or you're trying to apply the ointments that are associated with that as well. And one fact that I think is important to share is that eczema is not contagious. A lot of people do think that just because it can sometimes look very scaly, very dry. They think it's some kind of like disease that if I touch someone else, they're going to get it. But no, it's an autoimmune disease a lot of the times, or in my case. So it's not something that can be spread. So I think that's something to put out there. Next, I want us to start off with talking about understanding the impacts of both sickle cell and eczema. So Najee, I want to ask you, how long have you been dealing with sickle cell?
Well, I have been dealing with sickle cell anemia since birth, and it's crazy because then we went years with having sickle cell crisis back to back, or even sometimes I remember my mom talking to my teachers, and I would overhear her telling them that I'm not allowed to go play outside with the other kids because if it was too hot or too cold, I could go into a sickle cell crisis. So she always had me sitting under a tree where all the shade was, just so I don't end up going into the sickle cell crisis.
Wow. And I think that's something, again, very important to highlight, because growing up, that definitely does impact how things are.
Yes.
So now I want to talk a little bit about eczema. So I had infant eczema, which is actually pretty common. About 1 in 3 babies have that. But thing is, mine never really went away. It just kept on coming back over the years. And so basically, this eczema is something that I deal with every day. And it's not that it's just a constant thing. It's more of a cyclical thing, is what it's called, a cyclical disease. So it could be there for 6 months and then be gone for like three, and then something comes to trigger it again, and then it's back again. So I want to transition into understanding a little bit more about chronic illnesses. So with chronic illnesses, your health and body are a little bit more fragile than others, as we've mentioned earlier. And so we have to be more cautious and deliberate in how we treat our bodies. So I wanted us to talk about our daily routine living with both sickle cell and eczema, starting off with which products you use.
I would have to say with sickle cell anemia, with my skin personally, I don't think it has really anything to do with me like using lotions or anything. But as in like eating wise, the first thing, as soon as we wake up, we try to drink tons of water, and then we incorporate almonds or Brazil nuts into our diet. And then we would have a side of fruits such as bananas or strawberries. Now, just by us getting a jump start in the morning time, those are giving us energy, and those are also healthy fats such as the almonds. So and for snacks in the morning time, we don't have snacks in the morning time such as granola bars. It's just straight plain raw nuts and fruits and water.
Awesome. And so do you think that like this diet that you have, how has it changed over the years? Has it been same, different? Elaborate a little bit on that.
Personally, I think it's been a drastic difference, because then we were having sickle cell crisis back to back. But now the last time we had a sickle cell crisis was in 2014. So it's been a whole lot of years has passed since we had a sickle cell crisis. If we had like, I want to say a minor episode, it was very minor with like little aches, nothing too serious as the sickle cell crisis. But we still try to make sure to watch out for what we eat. And then even if we're going to the store, we try to read ingredients just to make sure that it's not filled with processed ingredients. And if it is filled with processed ingredients, we try to go back home and make it ourselves with healthier ingredients.
Awesome. It's great to hear that you're incorporating a super healthy diet into helping you deal with your disease. And I'm glad that it has been improving, as you're saying, over the years due to those changes.
Thank you.
Yes. So when it comes to dealing with chronic diseases or illnesses, mm-hmm. a lot of times people need a big support network to deal with the struggle and the day-to-day life issues that may arise just from having these. And so I'm wondering, what does that community, or what does that support group look like for you that's helped you deal with your sickle cell over the years?
I think over the years, we mainly used like a big social media platform. It was small at once, but just by using social media and trying to spread the word, and a lot of people that were supportive about the fact that we were battling sickle cell anemia, and just by them spreading the word to their family and friends and letting them know that, just educating them about sickle cell anemia, that really helped us, because it brought even more people to support our foundation. And then we also go around to different sickle cell groups just to talk about sickle cell anemia to different children that's young and that's afraid to tell people that they have sickle cell anemia, because it goes for any chronic illness. And it's very, very embarrassing to be able to let someone know that you're battling something, because then there's cruel people in the world that judge a lot, which is pretty mean, and no one should be judged in the world at all whatsoever. But then that's where just educating people plays a big role into that, with people judging you, because then the more you educate people, the more they'll understand that, hey, my chronic illness isn't contagious at all, and it doesn't define who I am, because then I am my own person. And just because I have sickle cell anemia, it doesn't mean that sickle cell is going to define who I am, basically.
I love that. I love that so much, because another thing that I discussed on some earlier episodes of this podcast and just also through my organization is just the value of embracing yourself.
Yes.
As you said, everyone has something that's about when you can take hold and say, hey, I have this, but this is what I'm doing to improve it. And I'm going to love myself through that and empower myself to get better eventually. So
yes, most definitely.
Yes. So now I'll talk about kind of my daily routine with eczema or how I do that. So starting off, the kind of products that I use are definitely ones with a lot of moisture, because a lot of the symptoms that come along with eczema are super duper dry skin. So it's important to keep it moisturized. And also, like Najee said, drinking lots of water is super crucial. But now what I found is super helpful for me is using stuff like vitamin E oil or shea butter that have a lot of nourishing properties, because a lot of the topical steroids and stuff that I have to use that are prescription grade medications can be very harsh on your skin and can dry them out or leave them irritated at times. So I start off my days making sure that I do that and also apply those medications as well. Next for me, dietary wise, eczema has actually through research been found to at times be linked to certain dietary things. So for me, I find that whenever I eat things like sesame seeds or nuts, it inflames it for me. I know Najee was saying for her that's like more of a counter, which is kind of interesting. It just shows how each disease is so different, really. But for me, it really does inflame my skin. It causes it to get more bumpy and more irritated. So I try and stay away from those and really stick to stuff like fruits that have a lot of, again, like water and moisture inside of them to help with that. And finally, for me, my community support has really varied over the years, but I will say it first off started with my mom, just because she was the one that since a baby has been taking care of me, but also eventually when my sister was born, she also had eczema. So she was really like someone that I could be like, okay, we're together all the time. These are the products we're going to use together and we're going to get through this together. And then over the last 2 years, I found several organizations such as the National Eczema Association, which is like my eczema family, I call them, because they really do a good job of embracing eczema, but also they do a lot of work like with legislators trying to get new medications passed and stuff to help a lot of eczema patients. So in addition to my own company, Love My Skin, I love to rely on those others as well. I want to talk about you, Najee. I know you talked on this a little bit earlier, but I want to talk a little bit about chronic pain. So often diseases may be associated with chronic pain. And when we look at this from a neurological standpoint, the development of chronic pain is associated with regions such as like the prefrontal cortex, the ACC, the amygdala, the hippocampus, and so on. And so just understanding the more neurological side of things, I want to talk about Najee. I want to talk about, do you find that sickle cell is associated with a large amount of pain? And if so, what type of pain is it? And how do you find that you're able to deal with this?
I think that sickle cell anemia is associated with a huge amount of pain. And even the whole sickle cell community can also vouch for that. And just by dealing with it, we changed our unhealthy eating habits. I think before we changed our unhealthy eating habits, I thought it was crazy, because then who would have really thought that diet actually plays a big role with having a chronic illness? And just by having excruciating pain, sometimes it's unbearable. And well, most of the time, it's very unbearable to deal with. So, and sometimes it will even be hard to just get up and drink water. You'll be very, very dehydrated. And we try to make sure that we include a lot of fluids if we're in a sickle cell crisis, and just having tons of vegetables. Like sometimes my mom, she would make chicken soup, or she'll do a green machine smoothie with spinach, kale, and no sugar at all, and just water. And then she would also incorporate probably bananas sometimes, just to give us the certain things that we need for our body. And I think just by incorporating little things and just changing our diet around all the way, that really helped us stop having sickle cell crisis.
Awesome. So I'll talk a little bit about eczema. So eczema, like I mentioned, is a cyclical disease. So when the flare-ups do come, they come in strong. And so one of the biggest triggers that eczema can also be caused by is excessive itching and scratching, because that does break the top layer of your skin and allows you to get infections and also worsen those inflammations. So for me, I find that the most pain comes from over itching, over scratching, really. And then after that, if you do keep itching and scratching, it also can be very annoying to get into the shower or try and bathe, just because the excessive heat or even just any type of water, any type of medicine that you try and put on your skin can inflame it. So it's best, I found, I know it's like everyone says it, but you really should not itch, because it just will continue to make it worse. It's almost like whenever you get a bug bite and you keep itching it, and the more you itch it, the more painful it will be. So just staying away from that has really helped me. And so now we've talked a lot about how these diseases impact our daily lives, but I also think it's important to talk about what are the mental health or psychological implications of having these specific diseases. So Najee, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what are some mental health factors or things that you think are associated with sickle cell?
Personally for me and my sisters, I don't think any mental health issues played a big role with sickle cell anemia. I just think that at some point when my older sister Shakara had a massive stroke, and she almost lost her life, she had almost like hallucinating spells for some reason. And even some medicines would make her hallucinate, which made her very uncomfortable, because then it's crazy how a medicine that's supposed to be helping you is actually hurting you at the same time. But other than that, we never really had any mental issues, like, you know, dealing with sickle cell anemia.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm glad that your sister's still with us. I'm glad that that you were able to get through that.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And so for eczema, I would say that it's in contrast to a disease that's full of a lot of mental health and psychological problems. So there's actually, I've done a lot of research, and even on podcasts in season one, we saw where depression, anxiety, all of that can be linked to different skin conditions such as eczema. And so for me, I found that a lot of eczema also is shame, like you mentioned, but it also stems from a lot of mental health problems that you could be dealing with, for example, stress. So a lot of times when people feel stressed, it can aggravate and cause eczema. Or for example, if you have eczema, it can cause you to be more stressed. And so in turn, the flare-ups will get even worse. So I find that in addition to shame, also stuff like depression, anxiety can be huge, because also it's on the outside of your skin. And skin is like the first thing that you see when you meet someone. So if you see that if they have these patches on their skin, or you see that there's something on their skin, it can cause you to really lose confidence, not want to go out, all these things. And so for me, when I was younger, I used to wear like long jackets or long sleeve shirts. And I do live in Texas, so it's pretty funny because it's always super hot, but I would always be wearing long sleeves and long pants because I didn't want people to see the darker parts of my skin that had patches or whatever. So for me, I found that just getting past that whole mental aspects of, okay, yes, I'm anxious and it makes me anxious, but the more I can embrace it, other people will accept it too if you are showing that confidence in yourself. So lastly, I want to end this podcast off with one tip that you would give to the audience about having sickle cell, Najee.
One tip that I would give the audience about sickle cell anemia is that if you know that you have a family member or a friend that's battling sickle cell anemia, don't be afraid to learn more about it or research more about it, because then at the end of the day, it can be able to be effective towards them in a good way, such as educating them more about their own disease, and you can educate yourself about your own disease. And even if you're battling sickle cell anemia, be cautious about your diet, because then that plays a huge, huge role with you having sickle cell crisis daily, weekly, or monthly. And just by you changing your diet, it can lessen you having sickle cell crisis. And remember, you guys, your health matters so much. And I think it personally matters to me also, because it's very sad to be able to see someone in your community that's battling the same chronic illness as you, and they end up losing their fight to sickle cell anemia. So just by you being cautious about certain things that you're doing or certain things that you're eating, trust me, it'll help you in the long run.
Thank you. I really, really love that tip, because I feel like you've touched on something that maybe a lot of people didn't know, like you said, the diet. So I think it's super important to do that.
Yes.
And so we'll just end off with me talking about my one tip for eczema. And so I would say the first thing you should do is to really just love this, your skin the way that it is, because eczema is one of those skin diseases that you will most likely have for a while. It's not something that can go away in a day or in a week. So first, loving yourself will help you build that confidence. And secondly, pairing it with a medication. So for me, it was prescription, but just starting off, even if yours is not that severe, just starting off with finding stuff like oils, butters, stuff that will really help with moisture, can really just make a huge difference in even just your comfortability in different clothes and different things that would maybe irritate your skin before. So this is the end of this podcast. Please tune in for episode 2 coming soon. And thank you, Najee, for being here today.
You're so welcome. And thank you, Audrey, for having me.